Our scripture reading tonight is from Mark chapter 4, verses 10 through 25. I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles, and this passage is also printed in your bulletin on page 9. If you are willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's word. And before we read, I would like to remind you that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Mark chapter 4, verses 10 through 25. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Nicole. I think we all have a hard time paying attention to the gospel, the good news of who Jesus is and why he came. We have a hard time listening and accepting and responding appropriately to the gospel so that it makes a difference in our lives and in what we think, what we say, what we do in all areas of our lives every day. And I think this is a problem that we share with all of humanity. It's not unique to us, to you, to me. It's a problem we share. Some of us simply don't pay attention at all. We don't listen. We may be distracted by the work that we have to do or the fun that we want to have. Or we may have no interest. We may not believe that the gospel is true or that it's relevant to our lives or that Jesus is indeed the Son of God or that he's the only way to heaven and a right relationship with God. We may not believe that we need a Savior, that we need to be forgiven. We may not believe in judgment. We may ask, how could a good God send people to hell? And so we may be distracted. We may not be interested. We may not listen. Some of us may pay attention for a time, but we have short attention spans and we lose interest. Or when our understanding of being a Christian doesn't work the way we thought it would, we give in, we give up. We're distracted. We have short attention spans. Or maybe it costs us more than we're willing to pay. And so we have a hard time continuing on. And even if we believe and embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, even if we know and love Jesus, and it's our desire to worship him and to glorify him in all that we do and say, there's times when we forget the good news. In the sense that we might live or we might think or act or speak in a way that reveals we don't really remember the gospel, or we don't believe the gospel in that moment. And that's why Paul, the Apostle Paul, one of the great missionaries and pastors of the early church, that's why when he was writing instructions to a young pastor in 2 Timothy, he could say to this pastor, remember Jesus Christ. Because even pastors sometimes have problems paying attention to the gospel. That's why Paul would write in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Paul's exhorting us to pay attention to the gospel. It's one of the reasons that we observe the Lord's Supper every week. Because it's a reminder that we need. You know, there's a sense in which all of us are in varying stages of unbelief when it comes to the gospel. And we all need God's help to pay attention to what we hear. We all need to pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You know, when I want my kids to listen to me, we have 5 teenagers in our home right now, and when I want them to listen to me, they probably get tired of me doing this, but I've gotten into this habit of I say to them in a lovely, pleasant voice. Maybe that's not true. In a stern voice, but I'll say, all right, come here. I want you to come here right in front of me, not 5 feet away, but like a foot away from me. Stand up, put your iPod down, put your book down, close your computer, and look at me and listen. And then hopefully I have their attention by then. In a sense, that's what we need to do tonight when we come to hear the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to say you have to stand up. Unless you're having trouble staying awake, then I'm more than glad for you to stand up. Because I think it's more important that we hear what the Word of God has to say. But we all need to have that attitude in our hearts this evening as we come to hear the Word of God. As we continue our study through the Gospel of Mark today, we are reminded that we are to pay attention to what we hear. That is, we are to take heed how we hear and how we respond to the good news of the kingdom of God. And this evening, we are going to focus on verses 10 through 12 and then verses 21 through 25. And it's my prayer that God's Spirit will help us understand the very importance and yet very difficult teachings of Jesus that are found here in God's Word. The first teaching that I see here is this. That is a gift from God to be able to hear and accept the good news of the kingdom of God. It is a gift from God to be able to hear and accept the good news of the kingdom of God. And we see this in verses 10 through 12. Jesus told this parable of the sower to the crowd. We looked at this last week. And he told this parable to the crowd, but then later he was alone. And his disciples and those around them, those who were part of his eternal family, those who were on the inside, they come to him. And he says to them in private, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. Verse 11. But he says, but for those outside, everything is in parables. The first question we need to ask ourselves is, what is the secret of the kingdom of God? Now, we probably think of a secret as something that we're not supposed to tell anyone else. And when you're younger and somebody wants to tell you a secret, you might get excited. Oh, you're going to let me know something important. And then I have to be quiet about it. I'm not supposed to tell anyone else about it. And, you know, if you're part of a church and you want to know this, this is kind of a secret. If you're part of a church and you want to know the secrets of the families in the church, just become a children's Sunday school teacher. You know, maybe some of you have experienced that, because as you teach them about Jesus, you learn a lot about the families. So, Andy, we might want to question who volunteers to be our teachers in the future. But there's a sense of what Jesus is getting at when he's talking about a secret with our common notion of a secret. But in the Bible, and in this sense here in Mark chapter 4, this secret, or sometimes the word is translated mystery, it's a truth that is only known by divine revelation that was once hidden but has now been revealed. So it's some important truth that we know only because God has made it known to us. And the secret or the mystery that Jesus is talking about here is that the kingdom of God has come in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. We may remember that the Jews, the people of Israel, God's chosen people in the time of the Old Testament, they had been waiting for hundreds of years. They had been waiting for a long time for God's promises to come true. For a descendant of King David to come and reign on the throne and to restore the kingdom to the nation of Israel. And what Jesus has been revealing in his public ministry so far through the Gospel of Mark, both in what he has proclaimed, Mark chapter 1, he says, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel, the good news. Both in what he has proclaimed verbally and in what he has demonstrated in his actions, in his miracles, by casting out the demons, by showing his authority over disease and life and death, by showing his authority in the things that he has taught. So what Jesus has revealed, both in his proclamation and in his actions, is that he himself is the long-awaited king. He is God himself who has come to rescue God's people and to restore God's kingdom. But it's not what the waiting Jews had expected. And this is the secret, the mystery. Jesus brings God's kingdom, but it's not to deliver those waiting Jews immediately from the oppression of the Romans. It's not to set up the earthly kingdom that they were looking for, but Jesus has come to deliver them and to deliver us from the oppression of our own sin and from all the miseries that result from sin. And he has come to reign in the hearts and the lives of all of his people, both Jew and Gentile. The church, all those who will submit to his reign and worship him as creator and savior and king. And Jesus is saying that the unfolding of this mystery, this secret, this understanding of the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God, this is a gift that not everyone will receive, but that has indeed been given to them. This understanding has been given to them. And Jesus is saying this, remember the context. Jesus is saying this to his small group of disciples. So the 12 men that have already been mentioned in Mark that he has called, along with a small band that has gathered around them, he's not saying this to the large crowd. One of those 12 we know is Peter, or Simon, whom Christ has called. Later in the Gospels, we know that Jesus will ask his disciples, including Peter, who do you say that I am? In Mark 8 and Matthew chapter 16, we see that. And in Matthew chapter 16, we see Peter's response. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Matthew tells us what Jesus says in response to that. He looks at him, he says, blessed are you, Simon or Peter, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So how did Peter get called to follow Christ? Christ went after him. How did Peter understand that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God? God, his Father in heaven, revealed it to him. This was a gift that had been given to him. Yesterday, Saturday morning, Andy and I were at a presbytery meeting. There are four presbytery meetings a year. And what that is, it's when the other churches of our denomination, the Presbyterian Church in America, when the pastors from those churches and some of the elders from those churches gather together, all the churches that are in the same geographic region. So we are part of the Susquehanna Valley Presbytery. When we gather together and we meet and we worship together sometimes and we pray together and we talk about the ministry and the business of the church, one of the important things that we do together is we examine men who want to be pastors of churches in our denomination. Yesterday was a busy day. We had five different examinations, and they were at various levels of preparation for pastoral ministry. One of them was for Richard Smith, who has been called to serve as a campus minister at Penn State University main campus, geared at international students. So it's a new ministry that we're starting, and it would be something exciting for you to be praying for. But when we examined him, one of the questions we always ask these men is just to share with us their call both to the ministry and how they came to know Christ. And so when Richard was talking, if I remember correctly, he said he grew up in a home where I think it was his father that did not go to church, but his mother did. And through his young years, he didn't really understand the gospel or believe the gospel. But in his teen years, his junior high school years, there was a new youth pastor at the church, and he remembers this pastor sharing the gospel with him. And this is what he said. He said, "That night, God opened my eyes, and I came to the Lord." And I just really appreciate how he said that phrase, "God opened my eyes." Because we see that in the scripture, we see that kind of language used. And that's what happens when we come to see that Jesus really is the Son of God and Savior of sinners. That is a supernatural work of God in our lives. God has opened our eyes. And it is a gift from God to be able to hear and accept the good news of the kingdom of God. This is the first lesson we learn from what Jesus says here. But there is more. And the more that we learn has to do with what is often referred to as one of the hard sayings of Jesus. It's a hard saying because it's difficult to understand. And it's a hard saying because it's difficult to accept. It's a hard saying because it has to do with judgment. And I think it helps us understand what Jesus is getting at, what he's saying, if we know the question that he's answering when he gives us these words here in Mark 4, 11 and 12. He's responding to a specific question from the disciples. The Gospel of Mark does not tell us what that question is. And this is an important principle for us to know as we think about the Scriptures. You should always interpret Scripture with Scripture. So if you have a question about something the Bible is teaching, the first place to start is check out the rest of the Bible. And what does it have to say on that topic or that teaching? Especially if it's a difficult one or a confusing one. And here's what we can do in the Gospel of Mark. We want more clarity. We want more information. So we can look through the other Gospel accounts. We can turn to the Gospel of Luke. And we see in Luke chapter 8 that the disciples, one of the questions they asked was, they did just ask Jesus, what does this parable mean? What does the parable of the sower mean? We don't understand it. We don't get it. And we looked at that last week. Jesus explained it for them. We can also look to Matthew chapter 13. And we see another question that the disciples asked was, why, Jesus, do you speak to them in parables? Why do you speak to them? And what they're getting at is, why, Jesus, are you speaking to those outside in parables? This is something different. You know, when Jesus first came on the scene in Mark, he was speaking openly, teaching in the synagogue. And people were amazed at the authority that he displayed in his teaching. But now there's a change. All of a sudden, he's speaking to those outside, those who are not a part of his eternal family, in parables. And his disciples want to know why. He's not asking, why are you speaking in parables in general? But they're asking why you're speaking to them in parables. And Jesus is answering a question about those who are outside the kingdom of God. Remember at the end of Mark chapter 3, Jesus began to make a distinction between insiders and outsiders, between those who had rejected him and were thus outside of his family, and between those who had believed in him and those who were doing his will and those who were part of his eternal family. And so the second truth that we see here and what Jesus says is this: to those outside, the preaching of the gospel brings judgment, not salvation. To those outside, the preaching of the gospel brings judgment, not salvation. Jesus uses a passage from the Old Testament here, Isaiah chapter 6, to illustrate this hard truth that he is teaching. I encourage you, if you have your Bibles with you, to turn to Isaiah chapter 6, or you can take your bulletin, and we have it printed on the inside cover of your bulletin on our reflection page. You know, you may have noticed Isaiah 6 has been woven throughout our worship service this evening. We started with our call to worship where Isaiah has this vision of the holiness of God, and he responds with repentance and with worship and offering up his life to serve this holy God. And you may have noticed that it was woven through our confession of sin and our response to this revelation of God. Isaiah 6 is where God calls Isaiah to serve him, to be his prophet, his spokesperson. God's going to send Isaiah on a mission trip. And it's longer than most of the short-term mission trips that maybe some of you have been on. Many of us have participated in mission trips at one time or another. Some of you have spent time growing up on the mission field. And some of these short-term trips are easier to recruit for than others. You know, if you're trying to get a group of high school students to go on a mission trip and it's somewhere like the Bahamas or Hawaii, it's probably not going to be very hard to get teenagers to sign up. On the other hand, oh, we're going to go to Lancaster City. It's not quite as appealing on the surface when you think about it. Well, this description here for Isaiah, I'm not sure we could get anyone to sign up for this mission that God is calling Isaiah to be a part of. This is the kind of trip that would be very difficult. God tells Isaiah that the ministry that he is going to have to the people of Israel will mainly be a ministry of judgment, in which he and his message will be rejected. Look at Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. The Lord is saying to Isaiah, he says, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." The people that God is sending Isaiah to, just like the Jews in Jesus' day that the disciples were asking about, these people had already had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the kingdom of God. They had had the opportunity to pay attention to what they heard, but they failed to take advantage of that opportunity. They had rejected Jesus. They did not repent of their sin. They did not believe the gospel. And so for those Jews in Isaiah's day, the time had run out. It was a limited time offer, and they had missed their opportunity. And the lesson for us is this: if you do not pay attention today, you may not be able to pay attention tomorrow. If you don't pay attention now, you may never have another opportunity to pay attention. If you continually reject the gospel, you run the risk of hardening your heart to the point of no return. Now, beloved, we believe that the Bible commends and commands the free offer of the gospel to all people. The gospel is good news that is to be proclaimed to everyone and to anyone. The free gift is to be offered to everyone, and Jesus has done everything necessary to make it possible for anyone and everyone to be saved if they will simply repent and believe the good news. But not everyone will receive that gift, that offer. And if you reject the gift, if you refuse to pay attention to what you hear about Jesus, your heart will harden, and you will not understand, and you will not see, and you will not hear the gospel as good news, and you will not be forgiven of your sins, and you will receive the righteous judgment that you deserve when the full strength of God's wrath is poured out on you forever, and you will have no rest, day or night. And beloved, that is an awful truth for us to consider, but it must not be ignored. It must not be forgotten. It must not be buried beneath the lie that everyone goes to heaven. That is not what the Bible teaches. And churches that teach that message today are no true church of Christ. They are more the work of Satan than the work of God. And they deceive people into an eternity apart from Christ. And as I consider this hard saying of Jesus, as I have considered it this week, I have been confronted with the weight and the reality of preaching. Realizing that the preaching of the Word of God may be used as a means of God's judgment. in such a way that serves to make hell worse for those who hear and reject the gospel. And that's not what pastors or preachers want to think about. You know, the very reason that we want to preach is because we want to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus Christ. Because we want everyone to know and love and worship Jesus. And then we see this and we realize that there are times when God in His perfect wisdom and His perfect plan and will may use the preaching of His word to do the very opposite. And that is what Jesus was doing through His parables. Last week we said a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, but we said there's more to it than that simple little understanding. You know, Jesus might use a story to communicate spiritual truth, but that story, while it might be easy to remember, it may not be easy to understand the connection and the truth that it is actually communicating. So when Jesus spoke in parables, it was actually a way of dividing those who heard, so that those who were spiritually eager and worked hard to understand the parable, they would have a greater understanding. But those who didn't would receive nothing. See, parables would kind of propel you along the way that you wanted to go. If you can't be bothered, parables will help you walk in that direction. Confirm your refusal to hear. And so the parables were a judgment on unbelief to those who did not pay attention to what they heard. Those who would not accept Jesus' clear, straightforward teachings reached a point where they didn't get any more clarity. They didn't listen when Jesus explained everything, when He taught openly. So now He's going to tell those outside only parables without an explanation. So the parables were like riddles in this way. Jesus would explain them to those who were eager to hear and learn. They would understand. They would receive more revelation. But to those who were outside, it was simply judgment. They couldn't understand the riddle. They didn't get it. It's kind of like those 3D art books that maybe some of you have seen. You just have a page full of dots of different colors, and you're supposed to just stare at it for a time, and then some picture will appear in the midst of it. Well, those on the outside were like looking at it, and they saw nothing. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. They refused to hear, and they could not see. Later on, in verse 24, Jesus says, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." That's what Jesus is getting at here, what He's communicating. You see, there's a danger in hearing the word week after week after week and refusing to repent and believe and not paying attention to what you hear, and we ought not to take that lightly. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that God spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ through us everywhere. And that's a wonderful privilege, a wonderful opportunity. It goes on to say, "For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved." And we can say, praise God, that some are being saved. Some are responding to the proclamation of the gospel. But it also says, "And among those who are perishing, to one we are a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. And who is sufficient for these things?" Beloved, I am not sufficient. We are not sufficient, but thanks be to God that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Thanks be to God that neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Thanks be to God that He is sufficient, that He does make things grow, that He brings fruit. And He does indeed bring salvation through the hearing of the word. And He does give us ears to hear. It's a great blessing. Yesterday we also examined my brother-in-law, Keith Winder, who happens to be the director of youth and outreach at Wheatland Presbyterian Church, one of our sister churches. Was also a church plant out of Westminster. And Keith was coming to be examined for licensure. So it's part of the process of being ordained in our denomination to be a pastor. So now he's licensed to preach. And they asked him about his call to ministry and his testimony of coming to faith in Christ. And he shared how he's the son of a pastor and his father was the son of a pastor. I'm not sure if his great-grandfather was as well, but he said growing up he didn't want to be a pastor. So all the men, you know, in his family were pastors. And he didn't want to be a pastor. And he said, these words were just so, in a sense, weighty. Because he said he did not listen to the gospel. He didn't listen to the gospel. And beloved, that is a dangerous place to be. We praise God for his mercy in Keith's life. And when he was in college, you know, his attitude was, as long as I don't do anything really bad, then nothing bad will happen to me. And in college, his parents got a divorce, and that kind of rocked his world. Because something bad happened in his life. And instead of causing him to run away from God, he saw that his self-sufficiency and his self-righteousness had no place to stand before the cross of Christ. And even though he admits he did not listen to the gospel, God in his mercy gave him ears to hear. And he responded in repentance and faith. It was only the mercy of God that made it not too late for Keith, that gave him ears to hear. Beloved, it is a gift from God to hear and accept the good news of the kingdom of God. To those who are outside, the preaching of the gospel can bring judgment instead of salvation. But the third truth that we see here and what Jesus teaches is this: the good news of the kingdom of God is meant to be heard. The good news of the kingdom of God is meant to be heard. Verses 21 and 22, Jesus says to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." It's a simple little parable that we can understand. A little saying, the gospel of the kingdom is to be brought to light. It's to be proclaimed. It's to be made known. We are not to hide it. You don't buy a lamp to cover it up. That would defeat the entire purpose of the lamp. You know, kids, when they're young, if they've grown up in church, what's one of the first songs they probably learn at VBS or in Sunday school? "This little light of mine," right? "I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Hide it under a bushel? Are we going to hide it under a bushel, kids? No. We're not going to hide it under a bushel. That's crazy. That's not what you do with a lamb. Are we going to let Satan blow it out? Are we? No. We're not going to let Satan blow it out. What are we going to do? We're going to let it shine. That's right. We're going to let it shine. That's the whole purpose. Don't buy a lamp to cover it up. It's brought so that you can bring things to light. The good news of the gospel is meant to be heard. It's meant to be proclaimed. We are stewards of the gospel. We are called to make it known, to speak it, to live in a way that shows we believe it. To live in a way that shows this is what our lives are about. To live in a way that shows that Jesus Christ is our treasure, not the things of this earth. To live in a way that shows we realize this is a gift from God that we do not deserve, but has graciously been given to us. And we want to faithfully steward it, to share it with as many people as we possibly can. You know, we don't know, and we cannot make the judgment of who is on the outside under judgment. There's no way for you and I to know that, to know who is hearing the gospel as judgment. It's not our job. And so our job is to proclaim the gospel from a heart of love for those people that we know and from a life of service. So we pray and we love and we proclaim and we plead with anyone and with everyone. And we do so because it matters. Because it matters. It's the last truth I want to point out from this passage. The fourth truth is this: it really matters how you pay attention to what you hear. It really matters how you pay attention to what you hear. It really matters how you respond to the good news. This is what Jesus is getting at in verses 24 and 25, which I read a moment ago. You know, if you accept the gift, if you hear and believe it and bear fruit, you will be given more. And there's always room for us to grow in our understanding of the gospel. And our understanding of who Christ is and why he came and what it means to follow him. Jesus Christ is more glorious than we will ever know. Well, we'll know someday, right? Right now we see dimly. Catechism says that God is a spirit. He's infinite. Infinite in His being, in His wisdom, in His power, in His holiness, in His goodness, in His truth. We long for that day when we will see Christ face to face. We'll see Him in all His glory. But right now we see dimly. And so we're learning and we're growing, and He's giving us more and more as He reveals Himself to us in His Word, and the Spirit gives us understanding. But if you reject that gift, if you refuse to hear, then even what you have will be taken away. And you know, we see that this is such an easy principle to get. We see this in our own physical bodies, right? The muscles God has given us. If you use them, what happens? They get stronger. The more speed work you do on the track, the faster you will get. If you don't use them, then they begin to get weaker. That's why my daughter is a lot faster than me in these days. She's always on the track, and I'm not. It's a simple principle for us to understand, but it's a difficult principle for us to consider when we see what Jesus says here in Mark 4. That those who refuse to hear even what they have will be taken away from them. If you love the Word, you will get more satisfaction and understanding in who God revealed Himself to be. If you refuse the Word, then even the understanding you do have will be taken away. But we can have hope, because today is a day of God's grace. Today is a day of salvation. He has revealed His truth to you in His Word. You have heard it. Pay attention to how you hear. Be eager for more, and God will give it. But if you turn away, you are in danger of losing what you have. Now, this week I asked the question, who should work or pray harder? The preacher as he prepares to preach, or the hearer as they prepare to hear? And my point was not really to come up with an answer to that question. The reason I was considering that question, I posted that question, was just to get people to realize that the hearer does have a responsibility. We are to prepare ourselves to hear, and we are to respond to what we hear as well. So what do you do to prepare? And what do you do to respond once you've heard? Do you pay attention? And I do want to close with a note of hope, because there is hope for us, just as there was hope for Isaiah. You know, Isaiah was given that commission in Isaiah chapter 6, and it was a very difficult commission. The Lord basically said to him, Isaiah, you're going to preach. They're not going to hear. They're not going to understand. They're not going to repent. They're not going to turn. They're not going to pay attention to what you say. And Isaiah said, okay, how long is this trip? 1 week trip? I can do 1 week. How long is this trip? And the Lord said, you keep preaching till there are no more cities and no more towns. This is an act of judgment, fulfilling my purpose. But the end of Isaiah 6, there's hope, because the Lord says there is a remnant. There is a seed. There are a few. And then later in Isaiah is given that hope in Isaiah 55, where the Lord says to him, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seeds to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish for that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which it is sent. Beloved, that's our hope. The word of God will accomplish God's intended purpose tonight. What purpose will it accomplish in your life? I pray that we all will pay attention to what we have heard. Let him who has ears to hear, hear the word of God. Amen. Oh, great God, you are worthy to be praised. And we trust in the power and work of the Holy Spirit tonight. And we ask that in your mercy and grace, you would enable every single one of us to pay attention, to hear and accept, and to see you bear fruit in our lives from the truth of the gospel. We cannot do it on our own, Lord. We pray you would grant us that gift and you glorify your name in our lives. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, and our coming King.